Questions are all around us.
Learn.
Why is liquid cold?
Learn.
What is maths?
Learn.
Why does this, ow, hurt?
Learn.
What is the Enlightenment?
I don't know.
And now, thanks to the University of Auckland, it's time to ready, steady, learn.
Certainly is, and this morning we have got Steve Mathieson from the Sociology Department at the University of Auckland, and we're talking about the Christchurch earthquake and the recovery effort, specifically this idea of building back better and some research that Steve has done into that. Kia ora, Steve, how are you?
Kia ora, I'm good, thanks. How are you keeping?
Good, very well, actually, very well. Now, tell us a little bit, I'm interested in this, I'm from Christchurch, so this is always a good topic for me, but tell us a little bit about what your research specifically has been looking into and who you were doing it with.
Yeah, well, we were very fortunate to get Royal Society of New Zealand Marsden funding for a three-year project, really looking at how you put a city back together. Sometimes sociologists have a bad habit of turning up when there's a disaster and then leaving and flitting to the next one. The tricky part, I think, is the recovery. That's the least researched element of the disaster cycle, if you like, and consequently the least understood. And we were kind of interested to think about the ways in which Christchurch itself might serve as a laboratory for an urban planet, you know, which is facing these unprecedented environmental pressures, as we know.
So this is, I guess, in some ways a fantastic site to look at all of these different questions. Where were some of the places you started with your research in terms of asking questions about what a rebuild might look like or what the city was looking like before the earthquake? Where do you start with this kind of investigation?
Sure. So, interestingly, we can start with the people of Christchurch themselves, because the local government undertook an epic consultation process called Share an Idea, and that delivered what came to be known as the People's Plan. John Minto famously described it as the most amazing democratic exercise in this country's history. So you have a baseline of aspirations, if you like, from that. And then it's a matter of trying to talk to key informants from ministers, people in regeneration agencies, local council, local activists, people involved in the transitional temporary urbanism sector, members of the public as well, and then trying to supplement that with official documentation, stuff that's already been published, and the occasional Official Information Act request as well.
So with that broad-reaching, I guess, group of people to look at, what kind of stuff did you sort of get a picture of about how Christchurch was placed?
Well, I think that the overwhelming feedback is that it's a textbook case on how not to build back better. I think we need to qualify that, because there are plenty of resources for hope there, and hopefully we'll get to talk about those a little as well. But you know, the general sensibility has been that, you know, they had the opportunity through tragedy to rebuild to build the first city of the 21st century, and have ended up actually building the last city of the 20th century. So largely the narrative is a bit of a opportunity lost.
And why do you think that is? How did we end up in this space?
I think for two reasons, or several reasons. I think the main one is the move in the locus of power and control, that it went from being a locally led recovery centered around the council and the wishes of the Christchurch public, and was captured by central government. And then that move from this vision of the city as a compact, walkable, green, future-focused city, if you like, to one based on dedicated precincts, large anchor projects led by developers and things like that. So I think that was partly it. I think the other thing is, if we're honest, no one builds back better. It's an almost impossible thing to do, because it literally involves pleasing all of the people all of the time. And in Christchurch, I think there's also something to be said for the demographics, slightly on the conservative side, maybe you'd agree or not, I don't know, you're from there, slightly older demographic as well. And for a lot of those people, they didn't really want to build back better. They wanted all the heritage buildings, understandably from their perspective, restored and kind of to build back the same.
So with all this research, as you say, there is hopefulness in what you've been looking at as well, because this doesn't necessarily mean the end of the road. I mean, if anybody's been to Christchurch recently, it's certainly not finished. You know, it's not a completed, rebuilt
Very
city.
True.
So
Very true.
Where do we go from here? And what are those hopeful tools that you mentioned?
Well, I think the first one is a straight function of time. If you look at the disaster literature, it's pretty clear that it's going to take a generation or more to truly recover. So if we make all of our judgments right now, we're simply judging too soon. I think there are positives that come out of any disaster. And in most disasters, you see huge amounts of camaraderie, volunteer groups, community groups, people even risking their lives to help anonymous strangers. We saw all of that and more in Christchurch. What we saw is a couple of things that we typically don't see in disasters anywhere in the world. One is things like voluntary organisations, spontaneous voluntary organisations remaining. And I'm meaning here specifically the Student Volunteer Army. I mean, that was an amazing outpouring of self-organising on the behalf of students in Canterbury, thousands of them. They exist to this day, and they're the most popular group on campus. And they've gone national. And they now have programs for school kids and things like that. And so they're an example of what we might call a repeat emergent organization. So that's very interesting. I mean, that's globally interesting, I think. What's also globally interesting is it's the first major disaster anywhere where the local indigenous group are an official party to recovery. And I think that becomes even more significant in a city like Christchurch, because you know, it did have that reputation, didn't it, of being more English than the English, and being, you know, among the more English of all the settlements in the colonial project, if you like. And you can now see Ngāi Tahu making their presence felt in the very fabric of the city. So I think out of this old Christchurch, there's the beginnings of a new post-colonial place starting to emerge as well, which is quite important and exciting.
You also mentioned the demographic of Christchurch, I mean, at least in its stereotype, being older, Pākehā, conservative Christchurch. Where's the space for young people in all of this?
I think that's an ongoing issue, actually. I think that's an ongoing problem. And if you're focusing on the centre, as I am, young people are largely absent. There's a couple of skateboard areas, there's a couple of Instagrammable swings, and there's not a lot else. You know, the stuff in the centre is pretty expensive, you know, the hospitality retail options. So, you know, there's a sense in which perhaps all cities are hard on their young. And I think that applies all the more so in Christchurch. So I think that's very much, you know, a work in progress.
Well, it's been really fascinating to chat to you this morning about your research, and we could absolutely keep going for hours. One of my favourite topics to get stuck into. But thank you very much for your time this morning, Associate Professor Steve Matthewman, chatting about your research from the Sociology Department at the University of Auckland. Have a lovely rest of your day and take care in lockdown.
You too. Thank you so much, Rachel.
That was Ready, Steady, Learn! Thanks to the University of Auckland, the best university.